Good afternoon. We'll be reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 28 through 30. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is on Calvary's cross. This is God's word. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it up to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. You know, as we end another year, we start another year. So we end one and we begin another. And we still have incomplete to-do list. I'm a list maker. Not like I used to be, but I still like to make lists. And last year's list was never complete. It was never completed, and I'm sure yours wasn't either. We're a very busy culture. We're busy people. We're going here and there to fulfill all different kinds of obligations. And so we have lists on top of other lists. We have grocery shopping, go and make sure you get gas for the lawnmower. Make sure you take the kids to school or to pick them up after practice. Or make sure that you make that doctor's appointment. Or you pick up your prescriptions at the pharmacy. Or whatever it may be. There's constantly things to do. Make sure you go to work. That's got to be on the list somewhere. Or kids, make sure you go to school. Yeah, there's just lists on top of other lists. And these to-do lists, they never end. Have you noticed, in fact, that when you finished one thing on the list, the same things, they come back around again and again and again. And many times these to-do lists, they're left incomplete. There's always more to do, more to get done, more work, more work, more work, more work. It never ends. Well, but we need to consider it. Work in and of itself is not a bad thing. We know that. God says it's not. He didn't put Adam and Eve on the earth and just tell them to sit back and relax, but instead he put them on the earth and he told them that they're to subdue the earth and rule over it and keep it and cultivate it and populate it. So he gave them work to do. And he gave us even He gave us a pattern to follow. God's word says that God himself, he made the heavens and the earth and the seas and all that is in them in 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh day. So he's given us a pattern. Work is good, but keep the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Set it aside. It's a special day for you to come and to recognize me. So work isn't bad in and of itself. It's a good thing. But we must be on guard against work, as in working to receive God's favor or acceptance. We must be on guard against that. Well, with the foundation established that work's not a bad thing, but it's actually mandated by God, I want us to look at 2 points today. The fatal flaw and the accomplished work. So number one, the fatal flaw. You know, our work-oriented lifestyles that we just spoke about, they can begin to creep. They can begin to creep into our theology or our soteriology, which is just the doctrine of salvation in a way that you are saved. Sometimes we begin to think we need to do instead of resting and doing or working to receive acceptance or favor in the eyes of God, it doesn't lead to life more abundantly. But instead, it can lead to despair, hopelessness, and discouragement. We must be on guard against working for our salvation. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He understood that men and women were prone to fall into this error. He had great compassion on those who were trying to work for their salvation. Maybe you're one of those who believes you're saved, but then you need to continue to work in an effort to maintain God's favor. Well, this was a major problem during Jesus Christ's earthly ministry. The Jewish leaders, they were teaching the people to do good works in an effort to earn favor in the eyes of God. And Jesus says, He comes into amongst the people and He says, rest. He doesn't say, do. He comes and He says to the people, He says, come unto Me, you who are weary and heavy laden. He says, come unto Me and I'll give you rest. Come and take My yoke upon Me and learn from Me, for I am lowly and gentle. Gentle and lowly of heart, I'll give you rest for your souls. So He says, stop working. Stop being busy. Stop doing and rest. Come to Me and find rest for your souls. You know, He pitied the people who were attempting to labor for their salvation or labor in an attempt to find favor and acceptance in the eyes of God. The people were on a path of burning out. All this self-effort, all this work was being performed in a vain effort to find favor in the eyes of God. And the leaders of the day, they were the ones that were encouraging this, piling heavy burdens upon the people. Long to-do list is what it was, especially on the Sabbath day. All sorts of things you weren't allowed to do. That was, instead of making the Sabbath day a day of rejoicing, it became a huge burden to the people. It was no longer a day to rejoice. It became a day that was actually despised. Well, Jesus comes into this kind of environment that we just spoke about. And He says to those who are weary and heavy laden, He says, come to Me and find rest for your souls. And I mean, you can hear the people. That's a radical thing in that day. What do you mean rest? We've been working, 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 and all of a sudden, Jesus comes on the scene and He says, rest. Rest in Me. Come unto Me. Rest. I'll give you rest. Come and I'll take that heavy yoke. I'll take that burden for you. I'll lead you in the way of life and life more abundantly. He says, I'm gentle and lowly of heart. That's what He is. He's a good shepherd. He's kind, He's patient, and He's gentle. He's not harsh. He's not a harsh taskmaster. No, He's gentle. Come and buy from Me water without cost, He says. Our Savior says, believe on Me and be saved. Just believe on Me. Believe on Me and find favor in the eyes of a thrice holy God. And that's the gospel, isn't it? The good news isn't work, 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 and more work. But the good news is that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whosoever should believe in Him should believe in Him, believe on Him, believe into Him, trust in Him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the gospel. Rest. Resting in Christ. Our salvation is not dependent upon our works or our self-effort. The free gift of eternal life is received through faith in Jesus Christ and not through our works. We cannot be justified or find favor and acceptance in the eyes of God through our own self-effort or works. It's not possible. Another passage that's very, very familiar to most of us here is in Ephesians chapter 2. Paul writes, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It's a gift. It's the gift of God, not the result of works, that no man may boast." So in these verses, it's clearly evident that works and self-effort cannot save. Our salvation is received by God's grace through faith, not any works of our own. So we didn't do anything to cause God's free grace to be extended toward us. In fact, we were dead in our trespasses and sins outside of Christ. And God, who is rich in mercy, He made us alive in Christ while we were dead in our trespasses and sins. For by grace you've been saved through faith. The unmerited favor of God comes through faith in Christ. So our salvation is not the result of works, but instead our salvation is a gift from God to all who believe in His Son. You know, the unmerited favor and love and mercy of God is only received through faith in Jesus Christ, in Him alone. No self-effort. Well, what about good works? God says that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that He determined beforehand that we should do them. So there is work to do for the glory of God, but not for your salvation. Somebody once said that we need to keep the works on the right side of the cross. So we've seen the fatal flaw, number one. Can't earn your salvation. You cannot work to find favor or acceptance with God. Jesus Christ finished the work for us. He finished the work. So let's look at the accomplished work. Jesus came to finish the work that His Father had given Him to do. And in doing so, He finished that work on our behalf. He lived that perfect life, that sinless life, in perfect obedience to His Heavenly Father, in perfect obedience to the law of God, that life we couldn't live, earning for us a righteousness not of our own. And then He died that death that we deserve to die for our sins. He died for us. He finished the work. Sin had separated us from a holy God. A relationship was broken. And then Jesus Christ comes, and in Him, that broken relationship is reconciled. In Him, we have found favor and acceptance in the eyes of God. In Him, Jesus, in Him, we have been made righteous. Jesus earned for us a right standing before God. And He paid the sin debt in full for us. So the salvific work was accomplished by Christ. Jesus says in the garden, maybe you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane in John chapter 17, the high priestly prayer. Jesus says there, just before His trial and His crucifixion, in John 17, verse 4, He says, "I glorified you on earth having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. So Jesus is the one who accomplished the work. And here Jesus was anticipating the final moments of his earthly ministry. Here the cross stood before him in the final act of the work that would secure salvation for all of God's children. Here it was. Here was that final act of being crucified, dying for our sins. He was preparing to drink the cup of the wrath of God for our sins. God had declared that the wages of sin is death. And Jesus was preparing to pay the penalty for our sins on Calvary's cross. Jesus Christ, the righteous, the sinless, he bore our sins in his body upon the cross. He paid the penalty for us. He died for our sins. He died for our sins. He accomplished the work on our behalf. And that's what he says here in the text we read a couple minutes ago in John 19:30. He says, I finished. It's finished. It is finished. It is accomplished. It's done. It's finished. The work is finished. He says, rest in me. Rest in my finished work on the cross. Rest in my finished work on your behalf. My perfect life. My substitutionary atoning death. Well, maybe some of you here don't even think you're a sinner. Maybe you don't think God cares what you do. Many people think that in the world. I don't think God cares what I do. I don't think I'm that bad. Well, God, the judge, says that we are all sinners deserving of eternal damnation. God says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all deserve eternal damnation. The wages of sin is death. But God hasn't left us without hope. He hasn't left us without hope. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ, his Son. That's the free gift. In Christ, the sin debt is paid in full. In Christ, our salvation is accomplished. It's completed. Paul wrote in the book of Colossians, Chapter 2:13, he says, he's speaking to sinners. He says, you sinners who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you sinners alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of death that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Now, outside of Christ, we're all dead in our trespasses and sins. We're lost and hopeless sinners living outside of God's grace. But in Christ, we live even as he lives. In Christ, we become God's children. In Christ, our sin debt is paid in full. It was paid upon Calvary's cross. Remember, God says the wages of sin is death. Spiritual death, physical death, eternal death. It's death. And Jesus Christ received our wages, though, of sin. He received the wrath of God poured upon himself for our sins. He did that. He did that for us, for those who would believe in him. He was sinless, but he drank the cup of God's wrath for our sins. He who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. So the record of debt, my sins and your sins, right? That record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, it was crying out, guilty, 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 guilty. That's what it was doing. That's what the law did. The law condemned. That was its purpose. It was good and holy, but it also condemned. And so here we have this record of debt was standing there against us. It stood against us with its legal demands, and it was yelling out and screaming out that we're condemned. We are cursed of God. We're condemned for our sins. We are deserving of eternal damnation. And God set aside these demands, but it came with a price. God wiped away or blotted out. He blotted out our sins by nailing them to the cross. He laid these sins upon his own son. That never gets old to me. I hope it doesn't to you. He nailed them to his son. He laid these on him. Jesus Christ received the full wrath of God for our sins. You know, that's something that we will never, ever have to experience, the wrath of God. We get the blessings of God in Christ. We get the love and the mercy and the grace and the kindness of God. Never the wrath. Never. Jesus took that for us. He bore the wrath of God for us, so that we wouldn't have to. Amazing. Amazing. The record of debt paid in full. It's finished. We just sung about it earlier. Not in part, but the whole. Paid in full. Nothing for us to do. Jesus did it for us. Finished. The work is done. Christ finished the work. The offense is removed. Sin was the offense that stood against us. It stood between us, between God and us. And in Christ, the offense is removed. It's no more. It's gone. The record of debt or the bill has been stamped. Maybe you remember the old stamps. Paid in full. I do. Paid in full. Paid in full. And then there was a little slot. There was even a date. So you could write in a date. Calvary's cross. On Calvary's cross. That's where it was paid in full. That's the date. That's the time. That's the place. On Calvary's cross. Paid in full. In Christ, we've been reconciled to God. In Christ, we've gained access into this grace in which we now stand. Through faith in Christ, we have peace with God. So the work is finished. Our justification is completed in Christ. Imagine a tree. So you imagine a tree. There it is. Tree with all its branches, like we have out front. Jesus didn't come and just lop off the branches and then leave the trunk for us to take care of, did he? No, he came and the tree is gone. And the stump has been ground up. The work is finished. He finished the work. The tree's cut down, the stump is ground up, and the work is finished. And likewise, our sin debt was paid in full. The accusations were nailed to the cross, and we can rest in Christ. The tree is gone. The work is finished, and we can lay down our, the way I think of it, we can lay down our chainsaws. We can put away our hard hats and our work boots. There's nothing to do. Jesus finished the work for us. And if you take a look at the tree that needed to be cut down, if you look at the tree now in its place is the cross. Right there. That's where the work was completed. It was completed. It's finished. Colossians 2:10 says that in Christ we are full. In Christ we are complete. In Christ we are lacking nothing. Nothing. In Him we're complete. So be on guard against the fatal flaw. You know, we come here weekly. We come out of a busy week. A busy week of activity in the world. And we come here amongst God's people before God's throne. And we come to be fed the Word of God. But how many of us come here weekly out of a works-oriented mindset? Saying in our hearts, oh, God will be pleased that I'm here at church today. He must be pleased with me because I attended church today. Well, God is pleased that you attend church. In fact, you're commanded to attend church and not neglect the assembling together of the body. We are to keep the Lord's Day holy. But your attendance, my attendance and your attendance, it doesn't earn you merits or spiritual credits or favor. No, it doesn't. Not with God. It doesn't earn you any of those things. In Christ, you are already the beloved. You are already accepted by God. You are already justified. You are already a child of God. You are already righteous. You are already forgiven. He already loves you in Christ. You don't have to work to maintain or to receive favor from God. No, that's not what it's about. You know, I know people who get into that because they have fathers who they think they have to live up to a certain level to please their fathers. So you know what happens when you come to God the Father is you have that same kind of worldview or mindset because that's what you learned. That was your environment you grew up in. And so then you try to work to please your Heavenly Father because that's what you had as a model here in the world. That's not how it works. It's not how it works at all. God's favor or grace cannot be gained by good resolutions. His favor or grace, it cannot be gained by sincere efforts, nor submission to rules or regulations or ordinances of any church. Can't be earned like that. No. You can't earn those. You can't earn God's favor through those things. But it's freely bestowed on all who put their faith in Christ and trust in the work that Christ accomplished on the cross of Calvary. And that's what Jesus says. Jesus says, rest in me, it is finished. Jesus finished the work for us. And so we can begin another year. 2017, we can begin another year instead of worrying about all the to-dos. We can begin another year resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. In fact, we can come to the end of our lives this year resting in the finished work of Christ. Some of us here may not be here next year. Are you resting in Christ? Resting in the finished work of Christ. It's finished. But what about you, lost sinner? Are you ready to meet God today? There may not be a tomorrow, so you have to ask, are you ready to meet God today And then ask yourself, why are you still living under the condemnation of God Almighty when you don't have to? Those who are outside of Christ are trying to work their way to find favor to God, favor with God. They're actually cutting their way and working their way to death. That's what they're doing. You're working your way to death. You're on the wrong path. You cannot work your way to salvation. You know, that's the lie of the evil one. And there's billions and billions of people that are members of a particular, quote unquote, church. And that's what they're doing. It's the lie of the evil one, leading them astray, telling them they can work their way. We can do certain things. We have to do this, 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 this at a particular time in your life. Don't be deceived. Apart from saving faith in Christ, there is no hope, no peace, no salvation. There's no life. In fact, there's nothing. Nothing outside of Christ. Apart from saving faith in Christ, there's only death and darkness and eternal damnation. That's what there is outside of Christ. There's no favor with God outside of Christ. Don't die in your sins if you haven't repented. Repent and come to saving faith in Christ. Repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ alone is the only way. It's the only way to find favor and acceptance in the eyes of God. That's the only way. Come and enter into that safety and refuge that's found in Jesus Christ alone. In Him we have hope. In Him we have peace. In Him we have security. In Him we have redemption. Outside of Him, there's just nothing. There's no hope. There's no peace. No life. Nothing. The Bible says that He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement that fell upon Him brought us peace. And by His wounds, we are healed. Do you hear that? By His wounds, we are healed. The chastisement that fell upon Him, brought us peace. Peace with God and peace with one another even. He finished the work. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Lord, finished the work. Well, we can begin another year then. We can begin this year, 2017, remembering to rest in the finished work of Christ. Rest in Him. Go from this place, in fact, resting and rejoicing in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We can go rejoicing. We should be the happiest people on earth. We can go rejoicing in Christ, resting in Christ, praising Him for what He's done for us, praising God for His indescribable gift. Praising Him and giving thanks for Jesus Christ, the one who finished the work for us. It's finished. You know, that's a sweet word of encouragement. Remember where Jesus is when He says that. It's finished. He's on the cross. He's dying. Moments away from His last breath. And He says, it is finished. He didn't do that. He didn't say that for His own good. He didn't say that to His Heavenly Father. It wasn't necessary. It was a sweet word of encouragement for us. It was a sweet word of encouragement for the body of Christ, for the children of God. Finished. Finished. one word in the Greek, finished. Wonderful. Praise God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, oh Lord God Almighty, thank you so much for Jesus Christ. He's precious. He's precious to us. And if there's anyone here who he's not precious to, Lord, I pray that you'll come and open their heart, open their eyes. Help them to see the beauty of Jesus Christ. Help them to come to realize that he has finished that work for them. All they need to do is lean into Jesus, rest in him, trust in him for this life and the life to come. And they'll find favor and acceptance in your eyes. Help us to stop working. Help us to be on guard against working to find favor in your eyes. It's only in Christ. It's only in him that we can find favor and acceptance in your eyes. And we thank you that you've even given us that one way. Thank you for loving us as you have. Lord, help us in this year to come to glorify you and to spread that good news of Jesus Christ, not just here in Bremen, but in South Bend and Warsaw and Indiana and Michigan and all the way around the country. However we can be used by you as ambassadors for Christ, you making your appeal through us. Lord, come and do that. Come and glorify yourself in us and through us. And bless your people. Do that, Lord, for Christ's name's sake. Amen.